You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. Puerto Rico's recovery from Maria has the potential to reshape the island. And for Governor Ricardo Rossello, that's a positive. Rossello has a very specific vision for where he wants Puerto Rico to go. That vision is sometimes in conflict with people on the island, Puerto Rico's various creditors, and the oversight board looking at the island's finances. I sat down with the governor in his office in San Juan. Incidentally, it was the day of the massive blackout, and you can just make out the hum of generators behind us. I asked him what the best model for spending the new HUD money is, given that so many people on the island live in informal housing.
One of the opportunities that I think we have is to start eradicating that informal housing component. Start pushing folks into safe, formal ownership. How do we do it? It depends on where we're at the island. As you know, we have had a significant decrease in population in the past couple of decades, and that has lent itself for a lot of houses to be available or to be owned by the bank. So I think there is an opportunity to leverage in the short run that set of houses. And then the second component of it is implementing what we want to have are the most robust construction codes in the nation. Make sure that we're ready for another hurricane, Category 5, God forbid, but make sure that we're ready for it.
But the code was updated in 2011. It seems to me that enforcement of that might actually do the trick as opposed to just creating another code. Well,
there's two. You're correct. There's the enforcement bit of it, but there's also been significant changes, believe it or not, from that date onwards. But make no mistake about it, enforcing this and using this whole opportunity with the CDBG funding to make sure that new housing gets built to code, that we have the proper structures to enforce and to execute. Those are going to be critical components.
You know how emotional this is. Does that mean going to someone who, say, has lived in informal housing for 20 years and say, you have to go?
It's time to go. It's not safe. It's not if, but when another a catastrophic event like this is going to happen, and it's just not worth it. And if we do have the opportunity to use these funds effectively and transparently, why not take this opportunity to make this transition? I mean, I would understand in the past when resources were not there to make this change, but right now it would be a shame if we don't do it.
Right now, parents, many teachers are very angry at you. They're angry at the Secretary of Education about the closures of schools. How do you go forward and have their trust when they think, I want my kid to go to her school in the morning, I don't understand what's happening?
Listen, nobody wants to go to a community and say your school is closing down. But it is not a fiscal consideration. It is education consideration. In the past decade, over 43% of our student population has decreased. We have scattered teachers all over the map. Most of our schools don't have a full faculty. The objective with our program is that we can consolidate those resources, have economies of scale, and we want to give everybody the access to a full faculty so that they can get better education.
I want to talk about the bond situation a little bit. You all have been forecasting actually a better return than the oversight board thought you could make before, maybe some 40 cents on the dollar compared to 25 cents on the dollar. How's that possible?
Well, our job right now is not to forecast what the bondholders will receive, or that's going to be a Title III consideration, with restructuring court. Our objective is to establish a fiscal plan that has, fiscal measures, but that also has economic growth, structural reforms. We feel we have done that. Puerto Rico is reducing their budget more than any other state has done in the recent modern history of the United States. Within the next 5 years, we're essentially reducing anywhere from almost a fourth of our budget, of our expenditures. And that includes healthcare, education, and the size of government. So we're doing our part. And then based on that, our fiscal plan has a debt sustainability model. And based on that is where some of those calculations come along.
Because you're sort of in this delicate place, right? A lot of federal money and some private money is coming into the island. At the same time, you don't want to be in a position where taxpayer money that is intended for rebuilding is going to creditors. And, you know, that obviously can't happen directly, but it's an uncomfortable dance. How do you make sure that that is what happened, that the rebuilding money goes to rebuilding and not to pay off bondholders?
Well, we have a rebuilding authority, all right? It doesn't go through our budget. It's going to be very transparent, very clear. And, I mean, I think it's safe to say that the administration's position, federal administration's position, and most legislatures are that this money should not be used to pay bondholders. That's obviously my position. I mean, this is a disaster recovery effort, and we'll have transparency as to what the projects are being used. And
That would mean audited financials for everything, wouldn't it?
That would mean audited financials for the government, of course. But then a set of unprecedented controls that have been placed in collaboration with the federal government for our revitalization authorities.
I had Secretary LaBoy on my show when you all were in New York speaking to the investment conference. And one of the things he and I talked about were pensions. And I know that you have been... Is it safe to say in a bit of opposition to the Oversight Board about how big those pension cuts should be?
Certainly. I mean, there's a philosophical divide. I think we've established that. For us, making sure that pension recipients get their share, it's of the utmost importance. It is our view that they are the most vulnerable of individuals in Puerto Rico. They would go under the poverty line if this gets executed, many of them anyways. And it has a negative impact on the economy as well.
In this recovery, both in the near term and thinking about the future, who is in charge? You are the governor. There is a financial oversight board. There is Judge Swain in New York City. And I go around the island and I ask people, and I ask some of the bondholders and their lawyers, who's in charge? And no one can tell me exactly.
Well, because this is a novel setting, right? On the fiscal limitation front, the oversight board has a power. On Title III, and of course lending and so forth, the judge has the final say. On public policy, I have, and the government of Puerto Rico have the final say. Now, a lot of those things intermingle with each other. My role, though, is to make sure that we execute and that our powers, delegated to us by the people of Puerto Rico to design public policy and to implement it, are not relegated. I am confident that, you know, with the resiliency, the wherewithal of the people of Puerto Rico, with the resources that we now have to rebuild Puerto Rico, we'll be talking about this recovery in 5 years as one that was not only a successful one, but that actually enabled Puerto Rico to correct its path on the economic front, on the fiscal front, and make this for a better society.
Thank you very much, Governor.
Thank you so much.